This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. It's hour number two of the Nation. We are live Shell Shack in Mesquite. Everybody that checks in with us today will be entered to win dinner for four here at any participating Shell Shack location. Up to a $100 value right off Peachtree Road here in 635. Join us today in Mesquite. Okay, we got NFL news of the day coming up in just a second. Did want to let you know we got a Salvation Army kickoff event tonight. Grapevine Vintage Railroad. Located 707 Main Street, and what you're looking at is Whataburger and the Cowboys are hosting it, okay? So the Cowboys, What a Moment's Troke will be on site, giveaways and hosting player autographs. DeMarvian Overshown will be there 6:45 to 7:45 tonight. Former Cowboys safety and all-time leading tackler Darren Woodson, Brian's favorite player ever, will be there along with Rowdy and What a Guy. Again, at the Grapevine Vintage Railroad, Overshown there 6:45, 7:45 tonight. Here's Wolchek.
Thank you very much. We also are taking our bids for our table at the Sandlot Charity at Globe Life Field coming up this Sunday. It's going to be awesome. We do this every single year. So we're auctioning off a table to hang out with us on Sunday at Globe Life Field. There's going to be a ton of people out there. You can also possibly get to meet Darren Woodson out there. I know Drew Pearson got to hang out and sit with us for a while.
Yeah.
There'll be Cody Bradford, John Gray, Elvis is going to be out there as well. He's in the building. It's going to be great. So if you want to slide in any of our DMs, or you can give us a call, 877-881-1053. If you want to bid on the G-Bag table, we're taking those bids. And you can also go ahead, 1053thefan.com. They got the auction if you want to go ahead and bid on any of the awesome auction items as well. We get more baseball coming up in an hour, but congratulations to Kevontae Turpin and Brandon Aubrey as they right now are the leading vote getters at their position for the Pro Bowl kicker and kick returner. Right now, I don't know if any other Cowboys are going to make this thing. I saw Zach Martin was like sixth in guard voting. I think Hunter Lipke was also in the top 10 when it came to fullback voting. CeeDee Lamb, I think, is in the top five for receivers. But this is one of those years where you might only get Turpin and Brandon Aubrey possibly in there. But you can go ahead and go to ProBowl.com/vote if you want to get any more Cowboys in the Pro Bowl. Odds are as well, if they finish like fourth or fifth, they'll be in the game because everybody ends up dropping out of this thing anyway. I mean, I saw that they ended up having the possibilities, like with this game in Australia, like they might end up doing the Pro Bowl as an international game. And I don't know if the players will like that or not, but maybe they try and get creative with this thing, draw some more interest.
I think the check's going to have to be bigger for that flight.
Yeah.
Oh,
I think
boy.
So. That's a long one, 24 hours.
Go to Hawaii and keep on going.
Depending on where you are. Yeah, Hawaii was beautiful. Like, that was perfect. That's a family trip. That's a reason to go.
Yeah.
I think they should just put it back there. You want to feel very old, Brian?
Yeah.
How about you see the
Pro
Football Hall of Fame finalist for 2025? They announced the coach is Mike Holmgren. Do you know?
Hey, all right.
The senior committee nominees, Sterling Sharp.
Great player.
Maxie Bon and Jim Trier. But seeing Sterling Sharp as a senior semifinalist caught me off guard.
Yeah, unfortunately for Sterling, his career was cut short because of the injuries that he had.
Man.
But
concerns about his neck, right?
His neck. I watched him shoot up his toe.
Ooh.
Every game.
Ouch.
They put the needle between the two toes.
Oh,
is what
gosh.
They did, and they move it. And he used to sit there, and I'd be in the training room because I'd always, that's where I hung out before a game. And I was sitting there, and he goes, "All right, Doc, let's go." He had a Gatorade towel, and he was chewing on it, and he was screaming as the doc was making it numb. And then they take it out, and he would go, "Okay, let's go play." And he would come back at half and get another one.
Oh, no way.
And God. I could see how you'd retire.
That's how he played.
Dude, toughness and dedication.
And he was the only thing we had. And this is pre-Reggie White and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
And
Favre, he left right as it got good, right?
Yeah, Favre was like just starting out with us.
Man.
And so, like, it was kind of like sharp. Every pass you knew was going. We had nothing else. And we finished 9-7, and then Sterling came up with one day we're playing against Detroit in the playoffs at Lambeau Field, and this is what kind of player he was. He's not playing in the game, and we've got a chance. I mean, we're backed up, and Sterling goes up to Homer. They're trying to figure out how to get this game because they got Mel Gray as a punt returner, mm-hmm. and this could be like he's like Turpin. He could bring it back if you mess it up. And Sterling, like, they're trying to kind of figure out on the sidelines, and Sterling walks over and goes, "Mike, take a damn safety. Just take a safety here. We'll punt it. Hendrick will punt it out of there, and we'll be fine. They won't get a chance to return us, or we won't get the damn thing blocked." And, like, Holmgren looked at, like, Nolan Cromwell, the special teams coach. He goes, "Have we worked on this?" And he goes, "No, but just tell Craig to go out of the back of the end zone." But it was like, they were trying to figure out something in-game.
Genius.
And he walked up and said, "Take a damn safety here." And it worked out. One of the smartest football players I've ever been around in my life.
It's amazing.
Not just for that, but how he played the game.
Yeah.
But I watched him take shots in his toe to play every week. That's how tough that dude was.
Yeah, I mean, I seeing his younger
and Mike Holmgren was a great coach. So,
but, I mean, both of them. I hope three out of the five will get in. They need to get at least 80% of the votes. Hopefully, they both do.
Maxi Baum was a good player though, but for the Rams way back in the day.
Well, Sterling certainly deserving. I mean, listening to Shannon talk about him as younger brother. I mean, it's he's moved to tears every time.
I wonder what he's doing now because he used to do. He used to be on NFL Network, and he was he broke the game down beautifully. I don't know.
There's a lot of
some stuff going on.
Really?
Oh. Well, from one potential Hall of Fame receiver to another, Randy Moss did reveal that he is battling a serious health issue as well. He's urging men, go ahead and do your checkup. So if you watch Sunday NFL Countdown, he was wearing a pair of sunglasses. He just released an Instagram video right before they went on air for the show on Sunday. Here's what Randy had to say.
Message for all the men, yeah. I'm sitting here on Sunday NFL Countdown and... You know, throughout the week of the holidays, man, your boy has been battling something internal. And, you know, I just ask for all the prayer warriors, you know, to put their blessing hands on me and my family through these hard times. And, you know, people were talking about my eyes last week. And, you know, I'm here. So if you see these on, you know, Sunday NFL Countdown, Adam Schefter calls them the Michigan turnover glasses that they sent from Ohio last night. So I just let it go with these, and I got the right side, the strong side on here. Strong side, you see, strong side got his glasses on. So anyways, man, like I said, y'all, I'm battling something, man, and it's something internal. Your boy gonna get through it. I got a great team of doctors and got a great family around me, man. So all you men, man, y'all do your checkups, get your blood work done, and we'll work through it, all right? So you see me with my Michigan turnover glasses on. Y'all know what I'm battling, man. All right, God bless y'all. Thanks for the prayers, man. Sunday NFL Countdown coming up soon. Y'all stay tuned.
Here he is, Randy Moss. I mean, arguably the best receiver ever, next to Jerry Rice.
So the reason why he even found out about it is because people were calling him out for being on TV with his eyes were being yellow, and then that's when he was like, okay, maybe I need to go.
Yeah, that I think the kidneys aren't processing properly.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, I saw some of the, like, TikTok doctors were alleging jaundice. You know, you have, like, too much bilirubin, which, I mean, as a, like, obviously when Eliza was premature, you know, she was under the blue light for a while. But I whatever it is, I hope that he's okay. And certainly thoughts and prayers with Randy and the family there.
Absolutely.
Go ahead and beat that battle, my dude. Now, last night we had another great Monday night game. I mean, going into it, Browns-Broncos, I was like, you know, this could be a dud. But this one was fun. I mean, you got Frisco Lone Star's own Marvin Mims Jr. He's catching a 93-yard touchdown, an absolute strike from Bo Nix. I mean, this thing was
between two defenders, woo! Like 50 some yards
he
down the field.
Have really handed it to him any better.
Really wrong about Bo Nix.
Yeah, so far I have been too. I was not in on Bo, but he's been playing some good football here.
Sean's done a great job with him, but the kid's done a great job.
He has.
Too.
He has.
He really has.
Now, Jameis was really good for the most part yesterday, minus the two pick sixes. Now, he ended up setting a new record, which I didn't know that this was really a thing, but it is. He torched Denver for nearly 500 yards, also threw the two pick sixes. That was good enough to get him in the NFL record book. 497 passing yards in the game. That broke Kyle Orton's record for most passing yards by a quarterback who also threw at least two pick sixes back in 2009. Orton threw for 431 yards, so Winston crushed that. Then you include the 171 interception return yards that Denver had. Then Winston finishes with 668 passing yards plus the pick return yards, which is the most by any quarterback in a single game in NFL history.
Wow, they're just making
up crap
stats
up
now.
Like, we're just adding on the intercept. Like, that's not for Jameis there, but hey, either way, we're having fun with it.
I'm actually surprised that Romo didn't do that at any point.
Oh, good. That one Buffalo game with five interceptions on Monday night.
Yeah.
My gosh.
Where he's throwing the ball around the yard, yeah, racking up yards for his guys, but also for the other guys.
Doesn't Jameis make the game fun?
Yeah, like last night.
Oh, for sure.
Last night was the epitome of Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
It's the greatness. You have moments where you're like, damn, this is why the guy was number one overall pick. And then also, this is why you're a backup quarterback in the league.
Yeah.
You can't make that throw.
The LASIK can't fix some of that decision making,
yeah,
you know?
Deshaun Watson wishes he was half as good as Jameis Winston.
Dude, Brown fans are already saying we should have just benched Deshaun Watson after the first three games. Maybe we'd have a chance to make the playoffs without Jameis has been looking. You beat Pittsburgh. You almost go into Denver and upset them.
Then Denver's defense, like, They're tops,
their
one of the tops
really, yeah,
in the league, yeah, and he was shredding them for a good chunk of that game.
Yeah. Well, and Jerry Jeudy, who got traded from Denver to Cleveland, it was a revenge game for him. He torches that Bronco defense, 235 yards, a touchdown on nine catches. He's now got the most yards against his former team than anybody in NFL history. T.O. held the record. He went for 213 against the 49ers with the Cowboys. So that was 16 years ago. Now Jerry Judy's got that record. Here was Jeudy postgame after he was getting booed after every catch.
Time you caught the ball?
I heard it.
I mean,
that was a lot of boos, huh?
It sounded like it.
What that means? That was a lot of catches, too.
what were the emotions facing your former team, being in that atmosphere? What was it like as a player, as a competitor?
You know, it was high emotions, but, you know, you always, like I said before, you all want to beat the team that you used to play for, you know, but, you know, we came up short. Like I said, we got to find a way to finish, find a way to win.
Jerry, I'm sure you would trade in all of those yards to walk away from here with victory.
Yes, I would. I would. If I had them, y'all, I need that W. I mean, I would just want one step closer to get to the playoffs. We need that.
Got him and Jameis were going to eat that W. Unfortunately, it went the other way. Denver got that. Now, we got the suspension today. We talked about this yesterday, but Azeez Al-Shaair, the linebacker for Houston, has been suspended by the NFL for three games due to the hit on Trevor Lawrence this past weekend. Now, John Runyon, former Philadelphia Eagle.
He was a dirty player.
Dirty stuff. I know, right?
This is
hypocritical as hell. Yeah. This is what he had to say. Your lack of sportsmanship and respect for the game of football and all those who play, coach, and enjoy watching it is troubling and does not reflect the core values of the NFL. Your continued disregard for NFL playing rules puts the health and safety of both you and your opponents in jeopardy and will not be tolerated. I'd encourage John Runyon to go back and look at some of his moments that have been well-documented since making this statement. And, dude, you should think twice before you speak. In fact, I don't know why he's even the NFL vice president of football operations. They should probably look at their hiring methods there if they're going to put John Runyon in a position to be making these decisions. I know the general manager, Nick Caserio, in Houston is livid, and he went off on the suspension today.
Look, it is what it is. I think the big thing from our standpoint, and all teams want this, is just some level of consistency. And we've talked to the league, quite frankly, but we don't have a good explanation. D'Amico talked to them yesterday. So, I mean, it is what it is. I'm sure Azeez will go through whatever process he's going to go through, and then we'll deal with it accordingly. But I think what we take umbrage is just the picture that's been painted about Azeez, his intentions, who he is as a person. I mean, quite frankly, it's bullshit, and it's unfair to the individual. It's unfair to the organization, I mean, we love everything about Azeez Al-Shaair, what he means to this team, what he brings to this team. He was elected a captain after being here for 4 months. So, again, like, we have a lot of respect for our opponents. We have a lot of respect for other teams in this league. We want to do things the right way. I think D'Amico's explanation about the situation from a defensive perspective yesterday, well, quite frankly, was spot on.
And 3 games he's going to appeal it. I was surprised. I thought he'd get suspended a game. Because he does.
That's what it's going to end up being. They're going to reduce it to a game.
I mean, yeah. He's got an incident where he punched. I think it was a Bears player after kind of a. I didn't think it was a late hit along the sideline against Caleb Williams. I don't think Caleb Williams was fully out of bounds yet, so I didn't have an issue with that. But then he punched one of the Bears offensive linemen in the face. Like, he's got some issues this year that have been documented. But a 3-game suspension, well, I think, is pretty drastic.
They're getting him for just what you talked about. He's had some other things that have happened, but they're also talking about when all this was going down during the game, he didn't leave the field.
And then he was trying to fight players.
And then there were 2 other altercations because he wouldn't vacate the field. So that's why Runyon's on his high horse.
And that makes sense.
Yeah,
the optics of it, I think, probably aren't good, especially when you got a guy seizing. You know, after Tua seizes, there's calls for his retirement. Yeah. You know, people just really – their stomachs turn when they see that.
Yeah.
You know, yesterday I argued for no suspension, no fine, but I was kind of thinking, like, maybe this is heading for 1 game. The 3 was a shock.
3 was shocking. Yeah, absolutely. And 9-4, like, he choked Tom Brady. That was back when Brady was playing with the Bucks. I did see that video as well that came back up over the last couple of days. He's done some dirty stuff in his career, but I think Nick Caserio laid it out. Like, there's other players that also fall in line with this, and they're not getting punished as severely. So we just need some type of, you know, consistency with the NFL and how you're going to go about doing some of these. And there's your NFL news of the day.
Thank you, Wolchuk.
We're
live at Shell Shack here in Mesquite. Join us here right off of 635 Peachtree Road. And we're coming back with a C-Note Cowboys news of the evening. Krusty's Corner's coming up at 340, and we're back in the Fan.
Dana Carvey and David Spade here.
You might know our podcast, Fly on the Wall, featuring guests from across the entertainment industry.
We decided to do a spinoff called Superfly, and it's fun. It's just 2 of us riffing on current events, pop culture, catching up, impressions.
Joe, Trump's trying to be a dictator.
Yeah, just bump on the tater tots.
Joe, no.
Listen to and follow Superfly on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome back, Nation. We are live, Shell Shack in Mesquite. Come say hi. Right here on Peachtree Road, 635. Best shellfish in all of North Texas, other than Brian's backyard crawfish boils,
I'll
which
tell you
tie
what,
it.
Yeah, I tell you, they do a heck of a job here. I had the crawfish. They're back now in the season. Good for Shell Shack, and they got them for a reasonable rate. So
$10 a pound.
$10 a pound, not bad for right off the jump. Last year this time it was really kind of not good that way, but the flavoring here is good. The size, the medium size are good. It's worth it. If you're kind of hungry for some crawfish or want to get your fix, these Shell Shack, I think all the locations, but especially the one that here we're here at Mesquite today, boy, they were
dialed.
Really good. Yeah.
Anybody that comes in, you'll get entered to win dinner for 4 up to a $100 value. It's time for the Cowboys news here, and some interesting things going on, including Jerry Jones about making the playoffs, impending free agents to look at, and moving on from Dak. In the morning news, they wrote about that. Okay, segment is brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. Frankel and Frankel, the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks in DFW. If you or a loved one is injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online to frankelfirm.com. Also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. Jerry was pretty realistic. Talking about the playoffs, we've got to really play even better than they have. Starts and stops with the thoughts about Cincinnati. They're a lot better than their record says they are, and that's sober thinking. You know, as we get ready for this, I can't help but consider it possible. And maybe it's just the back-to-back wins that are filling me full of homerish optimism and hopium. But I think it's legit with the way this defense is playing, the way we're running the football. I mean, Cooper Rush beat him a couple of years ago. They're not as good as they were that year, Wolchuk.
No.
Why the hell not?
Yeah, I mean, look, the way that this Cowboys defense is playing, and then if you have Diggs back with Bland, you feel like you can match up a little bit better with the receivers, with Chase and with Higgins. Maybe your defense gives you a chance. I just wonder offensively, and as bad as that Cincinnati defense is, how well are you going to move the football, right? I mean, Cooper Rush was struggling against the Giants for the majority of the game. You had Rico with a good game, and then a couple of passes down the field. The deep ball to Tolbert was nice, setting up the touchdown to Brandon Cooks. But if you don't get the overshown pick six, I'm not sure the Cowboys don't necessarily win that football game. So this is one where I do think the way Joe Burrow's been playing, even though I know that people have pointed to some of the turnovers, there haven't been a lot. But when he has turned the ball over, they've been in critical moments. An interception in the red zone against Baltimore, the fumble he had against Pittsburgh that they end up returning for a touchdown from Peyton Wilson. Maybe there's an opportunity there. If you're able to get Micah Parsons and Overshown and Carl Lawson and Osa, you get pressure on Burrow, maybe he coughs it up and that opens it up. But otherwise, yeah, I mean, I think this is a Bengals team that is better than you. I mean, I'm going to be picking Cincy to win.
I mean, 6-point road favorite, that's saying you're nearly 10 points better.
But there is a path to victory potentially. Yeah.
I think Vegas looks at those analytics and this team is significantly better than it was 6 weeks ago. Chief, buying or selling?
Well, I mean, this team defensively, there's no question. And the run game has gotten better.
You do offensively about the same.
Offensively, yeah. Offensively, things are still...
We're actually giving it to Dowdle.
Right. Actually giving it to Dowdle, which is nice. But, I mean, you just went up against two defenses that are
atrocious.
Really as bad as it gets when it comes to especially stopping the run.
Yeah.
And Cooper Rush, just by all advanced metrics, you're talking about dealing with the worst quarterback in the league right now.
Okay.
So I would caution anybody who has any ounce of hope that this thing goes somewhere fun with some multiple wins.
Right on. I love it. Okay. The other headline coming from Mashota in the morning news. I might just pick the Cowboys to win Monday night, by the way.
All right. There you go.
We have a story about how the end of one season can carry over to the next. That's what Mashota picked up from the Jerry Jones conversation this morning. Said he felt like, Jerry said he felt like the reason this season started so crappy is the carryover from the loss to Green Bay. And that's why they sucked so bad. I don't know, Brian, what's your perspective on that? I think every year's kind of new. The players always tell us about that in Oxnard.
They always do. And, you know, the carryover, really, if you look at the front office, that they allowed all those players to walk. You know, if they felt that poorly about their team or what happened in the Green Bay game and blame those guys for how poorly they played in that Green Bay game, man, I'll tell you what, to move on from all those guys and then not replenish it, only look at a draft, only look at...
Those guys are playing pretty well, by the way. I saw Biotis is like number 6 or 7 in Pro Bowl voting.
You know, and so that's something that, you know, the front office, it's the carryover is you didn't do anything to prevent a potential carryover.
Yeah.
You said, okay, you know, hey, it's new season, new folks. You know, coaches always say, you're right, Dawson. Coaches always say, hey, I don't want to focus on what happened last year. I want to talk about what happens now, you know. So, no, the carryover was that you continually don't supplement your roster with players other than drafted players or players you signed as college free agents.
And then continue to look for excuses like that. Like, oh, it's because of last year and the loss. No, it's your fault for exactly what Brian said. You don't replenish the roster at all in free agency, and it's not you got to be a day one player and go ahead and waste money by overpaying for a guy. It's let's not wait till week 3 in free agency and then go ahead and add just a guy that's probably not going to make the roster, or we'll wait till August to address some type of problem that we didn't think we had, but the rest of the world saw that you had, but you go ahead and have your cowboy goggles on and pretend there's no problem. That's what has me worried, the excuse making. It was the injuries, it was last year against Green Bay. It's any problem but me. But that's the problem. It's Jerry, it's Steven, it's how they team build and put this thing together, because that's the only constant you can look at through all the coaches and all the players. It's you. And that's why giving Mike McCarthy a ton of the blame here I don't think's the answer either. Mike was pretty much set up to fail with this roster. It was an incomplete, flawed roster from the beginning.
Yeah, he doesn't want to acknowledge that he way overestimated his own players going into this year. And you know, hey, we're kind of used to that kind of stuff, the selective honesty from Jerry. By the way, Wolchuk, I think you out-ordered me. You went with the grilled shrimp. I went with the fried shrimp.
You
got the broccoli and the white rice.
Looks pretty damn
My
delicious.
Mouth is watering here as we broadcast live from Shell Shack.
Hats off to both of you, man.
In Mesquite.
Thank you.
Great orders.
The wings look delicious.
Let's go to blogging the boys here as we look at the Cowboys news. Two impending free agents the Cowboys should prioritize retaining at season's end. This is Matthew Holleran. Okay, just wanted to salute him. Thank you for the content, sir. Brandon Cooks is number one. You have over the capper Spotrac estimating a 1-year $5.2 million deal coming up this offseason. Obviously, he had the touchdown, and he's good at that play. He's better at that play than anybody else on the team put together. So it's an interesting question at $5 million, isn't it?
Definitely, yes. I'd be open to it with that. And you know what type of like locker room character guy he is and everything. And last year, he was like the third down security blanket for Dak. Yeah. For a lot of that. And you saw some glimpses of it the other day, huge one there late in the game. But third down, he was kind of the guy that Dak liked to go to move the chains for all the reasons you mentioned yesterday, Broadus, where it's just like he has a knack for getting open.
Has a feel.
He's got a great feel for it. So at that price, sure. But for a lot of these guys, none of them are going to be like bang the table must re-signs, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm right there with you. I think at $5 million, it's interesting what he might play like next year, but I feel like he's down about 30% from his peak. Is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, 30 might be a little much, but definitely like 20%. Like he's a guy that relies on speed, and inevitably that's just going to slowly lose itself.
And he's a body catcher, you know, so it's going to be difficult for him to age well. But considering the look of this roster, you know, as you hit March 10th or whatever that league year starts, I think you're thinking about taking a wide receiver in your first two rounds. But maybe you have those earmarked. We have much more important positions to address, and Cooks gives you some stability there at the position.
Yeah, and how much can you feel comfortable spending more money on a better player in free agency when you've got the most expensive receiver, or second most expensive receiver in the sport already? You kind of have to be like, okay, now I don't know if we can allocate too many more dollars at draft assets for sure.
So Osa had 5 pressures with the sack. He's on pace for career highs in pressures, hurries, and sacks. Brian, tell us about Osa. Is he a must retain?
Yeah, when I look at Osa, it's the thing that I've always noticed about his career is when we get to week 14, 15, 16 that his play drops off. And this has been the first time since, you know, he's been here where he's been able to kind of maintain throughout.
Contract year, baby.
Yeah, he's gotten wore down in the past, and his level of play has not been very good. And now, you got a guy like Mazi Smith playing a little bit better next to him. That helps. But I'll tell you what, though, Osa's done a nice job. There's the discussion I would have with you guys is defensively, if you can only have Osa or have Jordan Lewis, which would you take as team building guys?
I'm going to go Jordan Lewis. I'd like to turn out and, you know, move on from Osa. It's multi-year 9 or 10 mil, but I want to find a more high octane guy in there that can dominate. And I feel like if you have him, you're not going to get a better three technique for the next 5 years.
The one thing that when we get, and I know that Zach and I will do work on this draft, there's some defensive tackles in this draft, and there's some three technique players in this draft.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you want to go that route, which the Cowboys probably will, I just feel like that every time we try and throw dirt on Jordan Lewis, he laughs at us.
He's having his best season.
He has one of his best seasons where he continues. Like, remember back in the day, Chris Richard and what Chris Richard was doing to him.
Yeah.
He survived every administration. He survived every coach he's had. You know, he's the one guy that you watch and how he's playing. If you said, I can only sign one defensive guy like that, I would sign Jordan Lewis over Oso Digizua. But I also have the benefit of understanding that I know what's the top of the defensive tackle draft looks like.
Yeah, amazing. It's certainly a factor. And it had Kalen Carson stepped in as a rookie and been a little bit more of what we were hoping.
That's an issue.
Then maybe you could feel like, okay, maybe Bland could be your nickel guy or Carson. I know that was talked about when he was drafted, but that hasn't been the case. And maybe the most one of the most difficult positions to find consistently defensively in the NFL is a nickel corner. Mm-hmm. So having a guy like that, and he's got the mentality that you want, he's a real dog on the defense, and you're probably going to get bang for your buck with a guy like that. Osa, yeah. This is second contract. He's going to be money mercenary.
Yeah, he is.
You know?
Osa's going to get a bigger deal based on the age and where they are. So I'm on board with Jordan Lewis, man. It's just he's having the best season of his career. At his age, it's incredible.
We're live at Shell Shack in Mesquite. Join us off 635. Everybody that enters will be entered to win a dinner for four, up to $100 value. Krusty's Corner's coming up next, Brian.
Yeah, I've got some questions for my guys, just like much like we just did. We'll do those next.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. G-Bag Nation, we are live at Shell Shack in Mesquite. Swing on by, fellowship, delicious food and beverage. Man, I thought I crushed my fried shrimp, but look what Woolchuck did to this grilled shrimp plate. Just complete destruction because the flavor is perfect. It's the best thing I've had since last time we were at Shell Shack.
Yeah.
It's time now for Krusty's Corner. By the way, dad out of surgery.
Oh, okay. How did that go?
Massive release.
Oh. How did that go? Everything,
it went perfect.
Everything good?
Everything perfect. Detached retina, stitched back in, can't lift anything heavy for 10 days.
Yeah.
And no flying. Krusty's Corner brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here he is, the king himself, Brian.
Thank you. That's great news to hear that.
Yeah.
Why no flying?
The pressure.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
There you get that. Pressure in your eyes when you fly?
Pressure in your whole body, dude.
Yeah. I guess.
Maybe if they lost cabin pressure, things could get really crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's weird. I mean, not weird. I mean, I'm so happy. I mean, hey, who's going to fly with a detached retina? You know, I mean, that kind of thing. But I'm glad that I never know. Sometimes they say you can't do this because, you know.
The flying one is.
The flying one always gets me.
Yeah.
Because I hate flying.
Me too.
How about that?
It's really just not fun.
Yeah, and I hate riding in a limo with you because I'm going to get car sick.
Same. Yeah.
You know, we figured that out.
It was contagious that day.
It was. Like, I saw you getting sick, and I started getting sick.
Yeah.
No, there's something
to that. It was my big ploy.
The driving backwards, it did. It and I'm not somebody that gets car sick a ton, but even that made me feel a little weird.
I was worried.
You never want to sit with your back to the direction of where the vehicle's moving.
Yeah.
You know, you want to be facing forward.
I just think the stop and go what gets me. You know, it felt like we were always constantly.
That Vegas Super Bowl traffic was no joke.
Yeah, that was that. That's I think that's what got me. Backwards and stop and go.
Stop, start.
I'll deal with the traffic, though. Just leave the Super Bowl in Vegas. That was fun. And convenient. Yeah.
I think you're going to like New Orleans.
I'm pumped for New Orleans.
I think you're going to like the smell of urine in the streets and throw up and all that.
I'm longing for that.
Yeah, it's just
just stay away from that Rick's Cabaret off Bourbon.
Did they get you bad?
That was a bad experience.
Oh, yeah. They took his phone and, like, cash dabbed themselves. $1 million, wasn't it?
I overdrafted.
And you
for
just
the first time in my life.
Were you just incapacitated that you just couldn't function?
Yeah, it was my 30th birthday. I didn't even want to go in there. I stumbly followed a buddy of mine in there. And the next thing I know, my phone's being passed around. And, I woke up the next morning and was in debt.
And he was wearing his shirt as his pants and his pants as his shirt when he woke up that morning.
With feces all over. It was just terrible.
It was bad.
I think we need to go back and relive the crime.
Oh, like retrace your steps a little bit.
Yeah, just kind of have a reenactment.
That girl's still working there.
Have a reenactment.
Honestly, I couldn't pick her out of a lineup.
It's your web redemption. That's a good point.
She might very well still be there. I have no idea what she looks like.
But she's tearing it up, man.
This is good. Chief.
Oh, wait. Oh, God.
Josh Butler's injury is a really bad loss for this Cowboys defense.
I mean, I guess if Diggs is still going to be limping around or whatever and not getting back in there. I mean, the depth in the secondary has been tested plenty already. Maybe that gives you more opportunity for Kalen Carson to, out of necessity, get a little bit more in the way of opportunity at some point. But, that's definitely – that's a bummer for sure. And it's just heartbreaking for that dude. Like, you're so happy the story. I mean, it's been phenomenal for him to get hurt. It's a huge bummer for sure.
Dawson, does Josh Butler's injury, it's really a bad loss for this defense.
I think so. You know, I think he gave him something. Some big playability, some toughness, some tenacity, some smarts. Yeah, I think he was a nice little piece. But I also think it's possible that a young guy steps up, and that maybe the player was just having a good couple of weeks, and now you can move on to younger, talented, faster guys.
How about you, Wolchuk?
Yeah, with Diggs being banged up, and hopefully he can play. But if not, you know, you're gonna miss Butler. I mean, certainly they haven't wanted to play Booth. Carson's on IR.
Yeah.
You're limited, really, with the amount of bodies that you've got at corner. And it was exciting as maybe a cheap, controllable piece for the future there to see how Josh Butler could finish the season. Like, was it just, oh, he played great against Washington. Could he carry that over and stack up 6 good weeks? It's a bummer that he's hurt, man.
I just think it's a bummer because, like, I think Zimmer found a spot. You know, like, they went through Booth and Carson and McQuamu. You know, AO, they had all these guys they were throwing out there. He seemed like the one guy that took it and was productive. And he was the last one they went to. It's kind of like, you know, oh, we got this guy in our practice squad, and, you know, he's a nice, you know, nice player, and we watch him, you know, watch him read cards. He's smart and all that. But, man, to me, after you watch him play, probably should have been the first guy in there. Probably should have been. Once they started, you know, once it was, you know, once Booth and all that, they should have said, no, man, this is our guy.
He might have just been a gamer this whole time and nobody could put him
in
the game.
That's what I kind of – but see, if you start playing, like, you start playing these teams and you get Diggs back, you get, you know, you've got Bland back, you've got Lewis. If you want to play some dime stuff, I mean, you know, the 6 defensive backs, and you want to be able to match, and maybe you can match him when you play – like a Philadelphia or somebody, you put him on a tight end. Right. You know, if you want to treat one of these tight ends like a receiver, that, you know, you have that kind of a tough guy that can battle and do all that. So a little bit disappointed. I think it's a bad loss because I think that he was showing that he could help this defense.
Especially how that injury can carry over now and bleed into next year.
Right.
Yeah. He's probably lost for next season too.
How about this one there, Wooly Bully? Do you feel like this offense has missed Jake Ferguson?
You know, I would say the last 2 weeks with the way the tight ends have played, I don't think they've missed him a ton. I really don't. I think that Schoonmaker and Brevin Spanford deserve a lot of credit for how they've stepped up, especially Schoony. And I was talking with some of the beat reporters that got to go, you know, into the locker room, like our guy Nick Harris and others after Thanksgiving. And Schoony was noticeably very emotional.
Yeah.
He knows that he has been a disappointment for you know.
We've called him a bust and stuff like that, yeah.
He hasn't played up to his expectations. And for him now, and he was getting eclipsed snap count-wise by Spanford when Fergie was out there. So for him to step up and make the most of this opportunity, I think he's proving to himself, like, I can actually play at this level. That's been great to see. You're rooting for the players. You're rooting for the people. I do think overall Ferguson is head and shoulders better than both, in my opinion. But I think that they've gotten solid production from tight end, so I can't say they've really missed him the last 2 weeks.
How about you, Chief? Is this offense missed Jake Ferguson?
To some extent, you would say yes, but it hasn't been glaring. You know, and it's been in a season where you're just looking for young guys to step up a little bit. It's provided that opportunity for a guy like Schoony in particular. So I think it's, you know, it's actually been to some extent a blessing in disguise with the way the Schoonmaker has been able to show, okay, like maybe this can be a functional tight end too, and it's not just a total bust situation that we're dealing with. And it wasn't like Ferguson was really lighting up the world throughout this season. Last year's Jake Ferguson is missed in a huge way. That's the guy we miss.
Yeah.
I was looking at that. I mean, 768 yards last year in 17 games. Schoony, over the last three, has 144. So he's right in that same area as far as, you know, what they were getting from Ferguson. There's always more of a threat for big play potential.
Yeah.
Like, I think Ferguson could catch it in a crowd and end up in the end zone. That's just not going to happen with Schoony.
I just kind of feel like, though, that what they miss about Ferguson is run after catch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, they miss that, like, you throw him the ball, it's an 8-yard complete. And
hurdles the guy.
Yeah, the problem is this quarterback's going to throw it 5 yards.
Yeah.
And you need a guy. This is why Cooks and Lamb and others, but this is where I think they miss Ferguson is, if this quarterback's going to throw it short, give me some run after catch. And that's, I think, what they miss from Ferguson. That they don't have that right now with him. And
Schoony needs to get just a little more help, a little bit more weight room, become the blocker that we thought he was, and then he might have the profile to have a good rivalry in here.
Gotcha. Dawson, if Mazi Smith continues to play better, Would that keep you from drafting a defensive tackle in the first round?
No, it wouldn't. I like the kid from Michigan. Is it Graham Barton?
Mason Graham.
Okay, that's Graham Barton's Duke different
last
dude.
Graham Barton was my dude last year.
Okay, so, you know, from my understanding, two different defensive tackle types.
Right, right.
And I need the pass rusher. I'm hoping.
Maybe
I need
the three technique more than the one? If that,
yes. So we need the quick upfield guy, and I like where Mozzie Smith is heading. But still, on day three, if there is a big a plug in there that we could get, I'm gonna go for him. I think Mozzie is satisfactory, but probably still not heading for a second contract. And you need it's tougher in there, more in there. And you pointed out great. I don't know how you picked this out, but it's just the divisional games.
He's done really well in the divisional games. Maybe you're playing against some undersized centers.
The type of center.
I think the type of center because you look at Cam Jurgens at Philadelphia. He's kind of John Michael Schmidt.
And that was always our knock on Beata, struggling against more of the powerful defensive tackles.
Right.
But I talk about it every now and then, how there's different kinds of confidence. And some guys, the alphas, they show up confident they're going to be the best at whatever they do. Other guys need the experience and the time. And it's the familiarity. Games 3 and 4 against these guys where he's like, okay, I can handle this.
Right.
And that knowledge, that experience of it, that's encouraging. You know, what can year 4 and 5 as he's made his way through the league? What happens when he's 28 and he's playing against 22-year-olds?
Yeah.
You know, I have hope for Mozzie Smith, but not enough to ignore the position.
How about you there, Wolchek?
No, it would not take away from the idea of possibly drafting one. Because to your point, I do think the ones that we're seeing that are most likely going to be selected are three techs, guys that have more pass rush ability to get up the field. And this team really has struggled so much at that position. I don't think they need as many reinforcements as they can get, especially if you lose Osa. And that might be where the value is, depending on where they're picking.
Chief, let me change the question. Are you nervous of Cowboys' inability to draft a defensive tackle?
Absolutely. Yeah. That's a very, very fair concern. And you see this throughout, especially when you get a large sample size of a front office doing something. It's Belichick in New England. They can't draft a wide receiver.
Right.
Save their lives. And it's now the sample size is large enough to know, like, hey, this is not your wheelhouse. And that seems to definitely be the case for the Cowboys.
Thank you, Dawson.
Thank you, Brian. Krusty's Corner every afternoon, 3:40, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. Wolchek.
Let's do a little chuck wagon, shall we? Let's talk the Rangers' new addition and the golden at-bat rule. That's next.